to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
If the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight. Under his sight. At arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
I began to share about often unattended doors. And it's interesting. Let me share. I shared with you how this vision came about when we were praying, right? But be happy. I know it's cold and you've just given, but you can still be happy. Do you remember? Oh, happy day. I won't manage making you happy. I'm going to preach. I'm not going to manage. So I began to share, and then we began to discuss how that there could be parts of a person that they don't know about. But this thing has been on God's heart a lot. A lot. Because God wants the most out of people. You don't want a situation where when you show up in heaven, you discover there are huge parts that were invested in you that you never lived. You don't want, God, not just you, God doesn't want that kind of situation. Imagine. That's why he's been repetitively bringing this to our attention. Amen. I remember sharing about a man named Saul. Remember? In 1 Samuel chapter number 9, he had lost donkeys. And as he went to look for donkeys, the prophet told him, I'm going to tell you all that is in your heart. And whilst he was thinking, all that is in my heart is all about donkeys. The prophet said, but it's got nothing to do with donkeys. And then the prophet tells him, you shall be a king. It never even occurred to him that he could ever be a king, to the extent that when they were calling him to anoint him and to announce him as king, he went to hide, because all his life he was comfortable just being his father's manager, manager of donkeys and other things. But he didn't know. Now, can you imagine someone who was just one of the last borns in the family, you know, and is in the last tribe of the Israelite nation? Then to be told you're going to be a king, it never occurred to him. That means it's possible that there could be areas of your life that you don't know about, that are far from what you could imagine. Far. Sorry, watch me pushing. Okay. See your name. So there could be parts of your life. A musician, now we shall contribute. You put. $50. $20. You contributed. Your PA system is even in. You should also pay for something. So, there could be parts of your life that you may not know about, but they are there. And the Lord has been pretty concerned about this. And last night before I went to sleep, the Lord proved to me, because I was thinking, but Lord, why do you want us to discuss the same thing? But before I went to sleep, the Lord brought to my attention that this is a message he wants me to preach. I'll share with you how he did it. And so I'm just telling you to tell you that what you are listening to is what is on God's heart. So there's a certain level of attention that you need to give it. All right? The Bible also talks about interesting things. The Bible also talks about Gideon. In the book of Judges, chapter number 6, we discussed that Gideon was visited by an angel of the Lord. And when the angel of the Lord appeared where he was, the angel said, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Now, the angel was not telling him, I don't know why my sound has changed, but I don't like the new one. Now, the angel was not telling him, you are going to be a mighty man of valor. No. He was telling him, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. The angel was telling him who he already was, who he didn't believe he was. The angel was telling him, when this angel came, the angel was just there to tell him who he already was, who he didn't know he was, who he didn't believe he was. Because even his CV, I want you to go home and read Gideon's CV. He was the last born. He was born out of wedlock, and his tribe was the least. And they were afflicted. So mighty man of valor was not part of his CV. And then the angel calls him what he has no clue he is. I decree and declare there's going to be angelic visitations. And the angels are going to tell you things you may not know about yourself. Who are you? It's possible. It's possible that you may be something you've never known. And so the Bible goes on to say, look at this. Verse 12 of chapter 6 of the book of Judges. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, verse 13, Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all his miracles?" And he continued complaining, and he kept saying this, and kept saying that, and kept saying this. Listen to this. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go." Look at this. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Stop. Did he say, "I'm now giving you an impartation of might"? The spirit that was on Samson abideth now on thee. Is it what the angel said? No, look at that. He said, "Go in this." In other words, look, Gideon, stop complaining. There is something on you that can save an entire nation. And if you read, this guy did not believe it so much that he started doing experiments with God. If it is you who said it, make two lions appear. If it's you saying, make this dry, make this wet. It shows you that even after God told him who he was still doubting. So he needed proof upon proof upon proof upon proof. It's possible. Some of you who are here, you're the ones who are supposed to change Africa's energy sector. It may even be an idea which is already there, but because you are the one who has touched it. Some of you are here to bring about new inventions, simple things. You know, somebody discovered the paper clip. It could be very simple things that work for you. We are waiting for someone to make toothpicks in Africa. We import. Oh, we do. Embarrassing. But where are you? How did knowing the thorax and the abdomen help you? No, something is changing. God is doing something. Yeah. I then started telling you about Adam and Eve. How that Adam really wanted a help, a companion, a friend. And then the Bible tells us that there's something happening in the spirit and they can feel it. Yeah, I know it. Firstly, everyone who's been having eye issues, The Lord is touching you. As I speak, the Lord is touching you. Your eyes have been paining. Your eyes have been itching. There's grace just right now. There's grace just that. All allergies, every issue with your eyes, by the time this service is done, you will notice a change. You will notice a change. There's so much spiritual activity that I'm sensing as I'm here. And so, I told you that he wanted someone to be with. But then, what God did to bring him a companion is he put him in a deep sleep. And where did the companion come from? Did God enter the 16th dimension of the heavens to grab a woman and drop him on the surface of the earth? Did God do that? What did God do? He stepped down into himself. In other words, the thing he was crying for was within him. The thing he was crying for, Adam, was within him. Many of you, the answers that you are looking for are not with God. There are some of you, the answers you are looking for, especially financial answers. Finances were designed to work on two principles. Number one, working with the gifts that you have been given. Working with the gifts that you've been given. Finances were designed. The Bible says, the one who preaches the gospel must live by it. That is to mean that if you are called to preach the gospel, God was just giving an example. If you've been called to preach the gospel, it means your money is in preaching the gospel. As you preach the gospel, as you work the gospel, you will find an income there. But God was also trying to say something that he was not saying there. He who lives by his gifts must eat by his gifts. That means you know how to plait hair. Your money is there. Stop saying, oh no, but many people are doing it. No! Financial answers were designed to answer to two principles. What is it that is on the inside of you? It will bring you to a place of finances. Number two, positioning. I taught you an entire sermon titled Divine Provision. Go listen to it. That's why the second option is. I will not talk about it. So the answer was in him. Go to my podcast and look for a sermon titled Divine Provision. And even if you've listen to it again. So Adam's wife was in him. That's why the Bible calls him a help meet for him. Suit, that word suitable means exactitude. That means God can lead you to the correct person, not just anyone, anyhow. So don't envy another person. You can look good together, but that doesn't mean you can live good together. She was taken out of him. No wonder he could say, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. You can't be... Okay. No, let me stick to what I want to talk about. Because I feel like if I go that direction, I may sit there for it for some time. You know why? You know why sometimes you can be single for a while? It's because if some of you, if you were in the world by today, you would have been married. Yes. Very fast. But you have come into a place where God has taken you into your elements, who you were supposed to be. So if God has to find a man for you, he has to find someone you can fit into. In the world, you're not looking for a man you can fit into. Chifiti fiti. Nango chifiti fiti chifiti fiti. You just go. That's how it works in the world. As long as we like each other, you can provide for me, we get married. That's how it works in the, but not in the faith. So some of these ladies, you think they are single. God, it's not, even God is looking at, nima nana mpero yu. So it's just a sign that you need to be patient also. Because you don't want the way you pray, the way you work for God. Oro muntu wale and that, isa tupepe ati ningu mfempe pole, isa ala stand, stand. But nishichuwa na chisa mungandu. Not everyone who has lived together for a long time is enjoying. Many are enduring. There are many who are in these marriages because of the children. If there were no children, oh. So it's important to understand that just because you are single does not mean many of these people also who are single, they are not. The reason why they are single, you are just not their type. They have not run out of options. They are not desperate. Oh, and all the ladies said. Sometimes that's just the truth. Someone is single doesn't mean they don't have options. Many of them have been approached. They just didn't feel like they fit into the man's life. Because let me also tell you something. The reason why a woman must be patient, even in the presence of an option, is because a woman will be demanded, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, that a woman must adapt to the man, to adapt to the man. That means there is a property of liquids, which is adaptability. A liquid will always take the shape of the container. So the way that this water is, it's not like this. It didn't want. But then water has a property called adaptability. It adapts to the shape of the container. If I change this container and I put in a different container, the water will change to fit into the container. And so imagine this person is shapeless, the one you are going to marry. Meaning even you as a woman, you are going to be looking. Because you are expected scripturally to fit. No, it's not the other way around. No, but me, I have feelings. Me also, the way I feel. No, first it's about how he feels. So if his feelings have not been chiseled by the Holy Spirit, you now have to adapt to him. So you love him, you have strong feelings for him, but are you sure you, with all your learning, all your exposure, you're going to fit into him and take the shape of his container? Zagranos diligia vahas. Amen. So don't be in a hurry. If it happens that you don't get married, there's no scripture which says, and those who were not married were thrown in the lake of fire. I've never, Sunny, did you know that the Bible says people who are married have issues? The Bible says they've got their own issues. So you can be thinking, oh, they're happy, they're always having sex. Get married. Okay, what's on the inside? What's on the inside? I've not lost my way. So, even Adam, what? He says, a help meet for him. That means she was able to switch to fit him. If he starts going for work every morning, by the evening, she has ironed the clothes, she's put them. If he stops going for work, he makes sure by the time, she makes sure by the time he's waking up, the breakfast is ready. If he's in ministry, she knows when he's praying to leave him alone. She knows what she is supposed to do in order to help him be better. She knows how to not be jealous when he's just maybe hugging a daughter. If you marry someone who has not graduated from kindergarten witchcraft, jealous guy is part of it. Hey, nish much na mwaging na uria. You are talking to someone, it's an emergency 23 hours. You are a man of God. Because she can't adapt. She doesn't understand the kind of man you are. She doesn't understand. She always wants, oh, let's buy. We need this car. She's all into looks, how we look, how we should. I need my nails done. Oh, I need this. This one, you are able to. It's what? It's 30,000. Yes, you can afford, but we need to do this. Oh, no, this dime, even houses are not that valuable, but I need my phone. Every month, you have to take money to her house. She can't fit in. That's why she has to be a help meet. But even you as a woman, you have to know at this one, I'll be able to, this shape, I'll be comfortable changing. Oh, are you people learning something today? Okay. So this is the issue that was there. So she was taken out of him. But the point I make is she was already inside of him. That means you can tell by your life and who you are, the kind of person you are taken from, or the person that can be a part of you. You can tell. You can tell. You don't have to go far. If she was taken out of him, it means that the DNA is the same. It means that things are the same. The flesh is the same. Attitude, yeah, full of fluff. Can you do your job? You can't talk properly. Anyway, the only relationship you have is chemically, biological. Oh, I feel like I'm in the right church. Yeah. Anyways, so she was taken out of him. You can tell her, this one I wasn't taken out of. See what men. Oh, this one was not taken out of me. So you don't have to try so hard to find, oh Lord, is she the one? Just look at yourself. Because sometimes the problem is you're looking to God, but God is looking for you to look at yourself because the answer is on the inside. What kind of man are you? So, oh Lord, is she the one? But you've been talking to her the past 21 days. Texting. Then suddenly you start saying, no, nishanku fuwa ile. Huh? You are a fool. No, you can't talk to someone consistently. Just chatting, oh, what did you eat? How did you wake up? Men don't have that patience to be texting in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. They don't have it. No, just ask them, these men. They don't take... And sometimes what happens, they will pursue someone. When the person says, yes, 3 months down the line, the complaint is now. She always wants us to be talking. No, but... And the complaint is, no, he doesn't text me as much as he used to. Can you worry to me now, eh? What do you want us to do? You assumed. So... We move to the next level. You also pursue me some. I also have feelings. Chamba no kubepa. So the moment that a man, for me, the moment that a man starts consistently talking to you, because already, you see, a relationship doesn't begin when you ask the person out. A, A relationship begins when emotional investments begin to transact. When you start expecting that there will be like a good morning sliding in my DM, it means leap relationship, bud. It has entered. No, but why are you talking to the same person? Talking to the same person. You like them. So already, you can't talk to someone consistently then say, Lord, can you show me who it? May you receive a slap of wisdom. And all the ladies said. So when you look at yourself, you know the kind of woman that you're supposed to be with. When you look at yourself, so you may not have some times to cry to God. Look at yourself. Then you can tell the kind of liquid that has to fit this container. If you're a plastic container, why are you going to get hydrochloric acid or whatever that acid is? Maybe it can fit. You are a plastic container. You know this one won't fit. It will take the shape for the next few moments and then rah. You know rah, eh? It will rah. This is the problem that was there as well in the book of Exodus, chapter number 14, verse 9. The Bible says, so the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea besides that place, before the other place. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. Is this not the way that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may save the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to save the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. That is important to have. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. He's trying to encourage himself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them no more forever. He didn't believe this thing he was saying, Moses. He didn't. I'll show you why. The very next verse says, so he tells them, the Lord will fight for you. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? I think they forgot to add the scripture where he was crying because of respect. Because this one cannot just say, and the Lord said, why are you crying to me? It means when he finished encouraging the people, he now went to the Lord as an intercessor. He cried to the Lord. Say, Lord, I've preached a sermon here that there's nothing. What you can't do does not exist. I've preached a sermon this side, Lord. Vala tumwe namo, vajaire. But look at God's response. God's response was, why are you crying to me? Now, that was either an unfair answer or God knew something that Moses did not know. Because the Bible says, listen, the Bible says, Isaiah 65, verse 24, remember, before they call, I'll answer. And whilst they are speaking, I'll perform. That is to mean there are certain prayers that God will answer. There are certain cries. The Bible says the ear of the Lord is near the righteous to hear their cry. So God is listening, and the eye of the Lord is upon the righteous. So that means there are prayers that God answers. But if God is not answering a prayer, it means that the answer is on the inside. Sometimes it means just that. Because why would we stand here and start saying, Lord, we are asking for an 8,000 when we can get it from ourselves? It means that there's a dimension of capacity to answer prayer that God has placed on the inside of us. Imagine we even get on our knees. Oh, all of us here, I don't know how many we are. We even raise our hands. Oh, Lord, 8,000. No, just think of it. It's a mockery of the grace that God has put on the inside of us. There are amounts that we can pray for and God will answer. But there are amounts we should not pray for. Someone comes to you and they say, I need 500 to clear my fees, otherwise I will not write. Yes, sometimes you may not have and you will pray. But sometimes you, as you are praying, you are even feeling shy. Lord, how are you? You, because I'm just thinking. There are some of those prayer points I stopped praying. Why? Because God has given me the capacity to answer that prayer. Look at what he told him. He says, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Verse 16, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea. He didn't say, and I'll divide it. He says, and divide it. That means the thing they were crying about and the one that Moses was crying about, that thing he was crying for, the answer was in his rod. So the question God was asking is, why are you crying to me, Moses? These people can even beat you when you've got the answer. They can kill innocent people if you've got the answer. Why are you crying to me? In other words, God didn't have to answer this prayer because the answer was in Moses. The answer was in Moses. Listen, there was no reason. Jesus said something. They said, why don't your disciples fast like John the Baptist's disciples fast? He said, why should the friends of the groom fast when they are with the groom? But a time will come when the bridegroom will go, and then they will fast. Because they already had the answer. So they didn't need to pray. They were just eating. The Bible says they were eating the ears of corn. How would you like to eat some ears of corn? They were eating ears of, picking, just eating. They didn't need John the Baptist's disciples. They were fasting and praying. Fasting and eating locusts and wild honey. But his disciples, have you ever read Jesus? There's nowhere where Jesus was invited at a Pharisee's house for dinner where he refused. I've never found a scripture. I've never found a scripture. The man won't eat. He even said, that John the Baptist, him, was not eating. Me, I came eating and drinking. That's what he said of himself. When he was trying to tell them, these people don't appreciate, he says, me, I came eating and drinking. You said I have a demon. John the Baptist, him, used to fast. He said, you said he's crazy. So he had to review it. Me, I. Some of the trouble he had is, they invited him one day by a tax collector who wanted to repent. He went to eat there. He never refused it. Zacchaeus, he never refused. He went to there, ate. And as he was eating, revelation started coming out. He said, for this cause, the Son of Man was made manifest, to seek and save that which was lost. Verily, verily, I say unto you, today, you know, that was during a dinner. Let me just take a short detour here and teach you a mystery. There are some dimensions of the prophetic that are hard to walk into without a trigger. There are two kinds of the prophetic. There are people who are prophets, and then there are those who are gifted. I believe all of us are gifted with a measure of the prophetic. But there's a difference between the prophet and the person who is gifted. The person who is a prophet is the gift. When a person is a prophet, they are the gift. But when a person is gifted with the prophetic, they are gifted. They are not a prophet. That is to mean that when you are a prophet, sometimes you don't have to pray and fast for you to prophesy. When you come, the anointing has come. I have friends of mine who, when it comes to certain gifts, Because they are the gift. Sometimes what has to take me a day of fasting, they can be eating cassava and working the miracle. Because they are the gift. But when you are gifted, you have to wait for inspiration. As a spirit wills, he can move upon you to give that prophetic word. Are you following me? And sometimes you have to stir up the gift. And how do you stir up that gift? By praying and fasting. And by looking forward to opportunities to exercise the gift. That is when you are gifted. But when you are the gift, any place possibly becomes an area of manifestation. Anywhere. Even in sin, when they are sinning, they can flow. They can, Samson was not gifted, he was a gift. So what used to happen to Samson? The Bible says he was sleeping with a prostitute. And then he saw they surrounded him. He forgot them. He went to the city gates, lifted the gates of the city, put them on his shoulder, and climbed the mountain. Means they are watching. Can you attack that man? Why? Because he was not gifted. Samson was the gift. So they may even do wrong things and still flow in the prophetic. Say, but that man, the way he sleeps around with ladies, how come he's still gifted? He's not even using a demon, the gift. Don't worry, God will deal with him. He will obviously go to hell, but he's still gifted. You think the powers that Satan has today, he gave himself? No. God gave him those powers. He will go to hell with the powers. But what I'm telling you is, very gifted. Yes. There are people who, when they sing, we don't focus on song, but since you didn't increase to the secular music. But when you hear, you say, you hear Beyonce singing, like, huh? But you are in Bafimbi. So the people who are gifted, who are the gift, they can even do the wrongest of things. Come here, minister. But remember Matthew 7. Huh? But Lord, we cast out demons in your name. He said, no, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. So these days, the more I grow, the more I'm less impressed by gifting. But there's a place for gifting. It's very important. There's a reason why God gives it. We need it in the church. And use your gift to serve God. How can you be an electrician out there, yet people here are struggling to connect things? Now we can, But you know, at me, I'm good at doing this, this, that, and but you see, you're not using the gifts of God correctly. Whatever gifts you have must benefit the house of God. The Bible says, as you have an opportunity to do good unto amen, especially to those of the household of faith. Are you following me? Now, the prophetic, what you need to know is that it needs triggering. When we are, as we are gifted in the prophet, in the prophetic, and we are not necessarily prophets, it means that we need to learn to stir up the gift, and we need to learn to expose it to places that trigger it. Let me give you an example. Before you sleep, you watch a wrong reel on YouTube, on WhatsApp or YouTube, wherever you watch reels from. How they caught a snake or something. You are not helping the gift flame properly. So when you sleep, you have a dream of a snake after you. Then you wonder, I'm dreaming. No, you were watching the wrong stuff. So before you sleep, even if you are tired, speak at least in tongues for 3 minutes. Read a scripture, then sleep. It means you have positioned the gifting in a certain way that it will bring godly things to your attention. Before you sleep, it matters what you do. There are times when you even know the reason why I had this dream is because of that horror movie I was watching. Before you sleep, you're watching a horror movie. Ooh, yeah. You watch a horror movie. It will watch you in your dream. And you won't even blame anyone. You watch statuses on WhatsApp. They haven't finished. They haven't gone down there. You're watching for the next person to update so that you watch. So that then afterwards you feel empty. and then you sleep, you will dream their messages. They will just come in a different shape. Sometimes just say, today when I sleep, I'm not going to look, I'll just read scriptures, and I'll meditate on it, and as I'm meditating, I'll fall asleep. So you are positioning the gift to work a certain way. And then sometimes what you need to do, it needs triggering, that gift needs triggering. Let me explain. Have you ever been there where you are, maybe you go in a certain place, and then suddenly you remember you had a dream. You say, oh, I had a dream. Now this has come. It means you have triggered it. That means the places you find yourself are also important. You may not always, this is one way to remember dreams, but you may not know how to do it. You really need to be led by the Spirit because you need to be in certain environments. But also when you are in certain environments, they trigger the gift. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 16 when he prophesied and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. You are Peter, and on this rock, that was a whole prophetic word, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail over it. Let me explain that. That place was Caesarea Philippi, and Caesarea Philippi was known for its enormous building and architectural artwork and designs. So when he was prophesying that you are Peter, and on this rock, it means it came from an environment where there were rocks and there were big buildings. And like those big buildings and rocks, the body of Christ was going to be built that it would be difficult to penetrate through them. So when he was prophesying, that prophetic word Jesus Christ was giving, and the one that Peter was saying, they were also inspired by the environment they were in. That's why Saul was told, go among the prophets. When you go among the prophets, you will prophesy and you'll be changed into a different man. He needed to be into a certain environment for him to prophesy. Do you remember in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15, when the prophet was angry that he couldn't prophesy, he said, bring a musician. And the Bible says, as the musician began to play, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha and he began to prophesy. So when you carry the gifts of the prophetic, it's also important to learn how to stir them up. It's important to know that you're supposed to be in the correct place. Now, I told you that every person has a measure of the prophetic. Why? Because we've got the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the Holy Spirit and not have a measure of a prophetic gift. So if, let's say, every time you're just listening to the wrong music, du-du-cha, du-du-cha. There are some times when you're just supposed to be listening to, I sing praises to your name. As you are doing that, you are stirring up the gifts. Oh, how come me, I don't prophesy? But you are listening to, I won't mention their names. You are just listening to the wrong stuff the whole time. And watching the wrong, you are not bringing yourself into the right. I'm not condemning you. I'm showing you how to grow in your gift. And how to grow in hearing God. You can deliberately bring yourself to that environment. What I do normally, if I feel like I've forgotten a dream, one purpose of tongues is to bring to your mind the things that are in your spirit that are not yet in, that have not yet come to your consciousness. So there are times when I wake up in the morning and I'm walking around and I'm speaking in other tongues, not to pray, not to seek mysteries, but to stir up, to trigger the things that are in my spirit to my attention. Listen, eh? There's no one time when I've done this when I've failed to remember a dream. This is how to remember a dream. You see why you need to speak in tongues? So don't say, no, it was not for me. Okay, then remembering dreams was probably not for you as well. There are many other things if you don't learn to speak in tongues, or if you don't receive, or if you do not stir up that gift to pray in the Spirit. There are many other things that you disadvantage yourself with. So when I'm praying in the Spirit, sometimes I'm praying like that. My wife asks me in the morning, are you praying? And my answer is no. I'm searching my spirit. And then I'm just quiet. And I'm walking, I'm pacing the floor. And I'm just focusing. And what happens is everything around me shuts off. There's a stillness. The Bible says to be still and to know. There's a stillness I get into. My mind is under control. And then I focus on God. And as I meditate on God, suddenly the things that I dreamt of start coming back. They come back. And I can tell you the whole dream. I say, ah, yes, I remember. I willed to remember. I forgot it. But I willed to remember. I didn't wait to be triggered. I willed it, and it happened. You can gain a mastery of your spirit. You see, the human spirit can be trained. It can be trained. Otherwise, God can be passing. You've missed him. But that will not be your portion. Amen. Hey, so imagine, even some of these things that I've told you, the issues that are going on in your family, some of them, you find that the information is on the inside of you, but you don't know. I was taking a detour to give you a quick teaching on the prophetic. I hope you've learned something. So the solution for the Israelites to move and cross the Red Sea was not with God. It was in Moses, but guess what? Not even Moses knew that the solution is with me. I want you to just close your eyes and ask yourself, how many solutions do I have that have never come out of me and the world is in problems because I don't know? Ask yourself that question. You can open your eyes and you continue. Because you should need to be appraised. Ah, so that means there are certain places I need to get to. But you know, you can open your eyes. Some people, school has blinded them for the things that are inside of them. School. You are studying hard, that you have forgotten hard the things that are on the inside of you. They've passed you by because of school. Some people, it's work. You join a company. When you join that company, you can't even think purpose. There's a difference between your job and your purpose. Your job is just a tool to accomplish purpose. What is purpose? Whatever glorifies God. Your job can glorify your bosses. They can be happy. Oh, what you're doing, you. You've managed to bring these results. This is what we're looking for. Great. That's good for you. But how is it benefiting the kingdom of God? If it is not benefiting the kingdom of God, then it will not take you anywhere. Please. No matter how much I've overemphasized this, remember this. If God has no part in your success, it will not go anywhere. What will it do for you in eternity? Where you're going to live, not 1,000 years, but years on end. How is your marriage bringing glory to God? The answer was in him, but he never even knew it. Said to him, stretch your hand over the waters and divide it. He didn't say, I will divide it. You divide it. That rod has power. Some of you, that rod you have, God will use it. God will use it. What you do first is you give it to him. Listen to me. This bothers me a bit. There are some people who are worldly. The only God they have is the God who's on the inside of them, not the one in heaven. What I'm trying to tell you is, there are some answers which are not with God. So to get those solutions, don't pray. Because your prayer may anger God. Say, but why are you crying to me? It sounded like I was frustrated. Okay. Have you ever looked at the Burj Khalifa, for example? The people who built that, they are not saved. They are not speaking in tongues. But how did that building come out of them? Have you seen some of the inventions? When you look at them, you say, you are the one who's crying out to the God in heaven. For them, the only God they have is whatever God put on the inside of them, the giftings, the thinking that God, that's the closest they get to God. Their intelligence, their hard work. Imagine what they have built. Things that they have done. But then you who as a God you can cry to. Sometimes that's your problem. The God that you can cry to is the only one you know. Meanwhile, the God who is the dimension of God on the inside of you, you don't know. So the one who is up there is also saying, but look at the things I put in you. Look, you are now turning 30. How many of them are coming out? No, they failed me. It's not about school. It's not about school. Hey, are you listening to me? There's this burden on God's heart. There's this burden on God's heart. That's why the late Miles Monroe said, the grave is the richest place because there are books that have not been written. Imagine God put movies in you that have not come out. Imagine. Sources of finance that have not come out. Imagine. There are some poems that God has put on the inside of you that have not come out. Some of you need a trigger. That's why being in the right place is important. You find the person, you are a poet, yes, only when they are in love. But what other ways can you do poetry? Because that's how some people only get saved. Someone has to come and give a deep poem here. Oh, and every man is a poet. I went there. Hey, are you listening to me? Yeah. There are moles on the inside of you. Moles, shopping moles. Those things don't just happen outside. Someone dreamt of it. And many times that person was even broke. But they dreamt of it. They dreamt of it. The house of the first church was in my heart. It was not there. But if I wanted, I would have said, no, I'm young. No, there are some pastors who are saying, let's do it. The thing was in my heart. It was in my heart. When God told me, it was in my heart. What we are seeing today was as a result of what was in my heart. It came out. The lives that are changing, I permitted it to come out. Now, I want to tell you something. Look at a very interesting story in the book of Numbers, chapter number 11. The Bible says, verse 1, soon the people began to complain about their hardship, and the Lord heard everything they said. Then the Lord's anger blazed against them, and he sent a fire to rage among them, and he destroyed some of the people in the outskirts of the camp. God doesn't like complainants. Then the people screamed to Moses for help, and when he prayed to the Lord, the fire stopped. After that, the area was known as Teberah, which means the place of burning, because the fire from the Lord had burnt among them there. I want you to see something interesting. Yeah. Then the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave for the good things of Egypt.
The issue is, why did they go with them in the first place?
They were told, only go with the Israelites. They went with the rabble, meaning mixed people. A time has to come where you can't go with everyone where God wants you to go. No matter how much you love them, if there's a part of them which does not please God, leave them. It is part of holiness. You have to be separated. There's a reason why God told Abraham to leave his family, to leave everyone, and to go to a place. A point comes in your walk with God where you have to go alone. But he went with Lot. He carried Lot. And Lot brought him problems. But guess what? He loved Lot, because Lot was his boy, he was his nephew. But God said, leave. In your calling, a point will come where you have to walk alone. Sometimes you only walk with people who believe like you. Because those people you love so much, you don't know what environment, what spirit they carry, which is opposed to God. They are worldly. So a time will come when you want to save God. They will not say anything. But the environment they carry will just always be draining your energy. Draining your energy. Yes, they are your boy, but now they are your boil. They have become a thorn in their flesh. You love them, but God says you can't go with those. You can't go with everyone you love everywhere. You can't, just because you love them. Sometimes you have to go your separate way. You've tried to preach to someone who you tell a chinja. No, it's just a coward. Sometimes you don't judge them. You love them, but from afar. Even God forgave Adam, but he said, you ain't coming back in the garden. So sometimes forgiveness granted, access denied. That's how it works. I know, I'm not saying that because some people, it's just a way of still being bitter. Okay, let's go.
So they carried them, and the Bible says, we remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt, and we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted.
Why die for watermelons and cucumbers?
Hopefully, everybody got it. Hey! And the Bible goes on to say, but now our appetites are gone. All we see is this manna that we are pondering. The manna looked like small coriander seeds, and it was pale yellow like gum raisin. The people would go out and gather it from the ground. They made flour by grinding it, and then explains what manna was about. Verse 11. And Moses said to the Lord, why? This is the part, because Moses was angry. This is the part I want you to get at the people. Let me read verse 10. Moses heard all the families standing in the doorways of their tents whining, and the Lord became extremely angry. Are you seeing that complaining thing angers God? Be careful with it. Be careful with it. There are some people who will tell you, let it out, let it out. It's better you talk about it, it comes out from your chest. Maybe, but you can find that that doesn't help your situation. It gratifies the flesh. And the fact that it has made you feel good and it has gratified the flesh doesn't mean that it has accomplished a work that benefits you. So it's better you just scream about it, it finishes. Yes, you gratify the flesh but not glorify God. You can sow to the flesh as per Galatians 6. So there are times when whilst you are supposed to scream and complain about it, you go and give thanks to God. Say, oh, Lord, I thank you because you know what you're doing. You are with me even to the end of the age. I don't like what that guy said to me. I don't like what he did to me. But I want to know. I want my heart to know that I've forgiven him because you forgave me. Talk to God about it. Don't scream about it so that it ends. It ends? Did it? You gratify the flesh. You know, that now that we've talked about it, I feel okay. You felt okay, feeling okay. You are in the flesh already. Oh, I know I've changed a lot. But it's messages like this which force you to grow. You will grow. All right. So, Moses had all the families standing in the doors of their tents whining, and the Lord became extremely angry. Moses was also very aggravated. Now your intercessor plus God, they are both angry. And Moses said to the Lord, now Moses, in his anger, this is what he said, why are you treating me, your servant, so harshly? Have mercy on me. What did I do to deserve the burden of all these people? Moses was pastoring 3 million people. There were 3 million of them. They had multiplied to that much. So now, Moses was given a burden over 3 million people. Okay? So at this point, because of the consistency of their complaints, Moses became tired and aggravated. Now, this is what he's talking about. And Moses said to the Lord, why are you treating me like this? Verse 12, did I give birth to them? How would you say it in your language? How do you say it in Tonga? How do you say it in Hebrew? So now he said it in his language. In other words, it was not a kind conversation. Did I give birth to them? Did I bring them into the world? Why did you tell me to carry them in my arms like a mother carries a nursing baby? How can I carry them to the land you swore to give to their ancestors, me? Where am I supposed to get meat from for these people? Because they wanted meat. Eh? They keep whining, saying to me, give us, give us. I can't carry all these people by myself. The Lord is far too heavy. But you know why Moses was always saying this? I'll prove to you that Moses was able to give these people meat. I'll show you. But what he was saying it out of anger. You know, people out of anger. You watched a movie, someone was angry. They cut the phone, they slammed it on the way it broke, and they walk away. You do the same. She tells you she doesn't feel the same way. You try begging, it's not working. She tells you it's not me, it's you.
You get the phone, you catch it in front of your owns. You smash it in the hole. They tell you, no. Easy, man. Then they walk away. And you know, the only thing you'll be hearing now is, because you don't know where you're going to get the funds to purchase the phone next. So you know truly that you actually had capacity to control yourself, but you decided to let loose and you broke your phone. Now you have to drink the consequences. So people do things out of anger and out of him. This is what Moses was doing. He was doing it. Remember what Elijah was saying? Saying, Lord, let me die. Kill me. I'm done. I'm the only one who is left. But God told him, go and anoint Jehu and Elisha and that other guy in your stead. Now, I'm telling you that Moses had the capacity, I'll show you. And the thing is, you see, when I study the Bible, I get to realize that there are parts of Moses he didn't know about. Because when God was telling him, you are going to feed all these people with meat and I'll feed them on meat for a long time, Moses started laughing. He says, but how is it possible? Was even there 600,000 foot soldiers. Then God said, Moses, you're doubting me. Now, the burden shifted from Moses to God. Meanwhile, that burden to feed them was in Moses. That's why Moses was saying, why did you tell me? And why did you give me the capacity? Why did you give me the burden to carry all of them like my children in my arms? Why did you give me the burden to do it? Am I their mother? He was their mother because God gave him the capacity. He was able to give them meat because God gave him the capacity. But when a person is angry, they stoop low. That's why I tell you, not everyone is worthy of your anger. Because if someone is angry in you, maybe, let's imagine they're a fool. It means you have to go down and start fighting with them. We are quarreling. Hey, what? They've reduced you. You are the one who has much to lose, not them. So you're the one who's losing out. That's why there's some people when they talk, you just say, is that so? My sincere apologies. You walk away. There are some people who, when you respond to them, their importance goes up. So there's just anger. When it bends you, you keep quiet. No response. Have you ever noticed, I won't mention names, but there are some people, when they are attacked, the moment they respond, everyone now wants to know that guy who made the comment. And now that guy's importance has gone up. You know what I meant when I was saying that? Meanwhile, if the main guy who was already famous was quiet, that guy would have remained where he is. So don't give people an importance they should not be given. Why? Because you extended to them the privilege of receiving your anger, which they did not deserve. Not everyone deserves your anger. So anger makes you go low. So when Moses was angry at the people, he stooped low and he reduced his capacity, which was initially given by God, that he was able to do the things that he was saying to God, I can't do them. I'm not their mother. I did not bring them into the world. Hey, what? Be careful with what happens to this load is too heavy. It wasn't. That was anger talking. Look at this. Let me prove it to you. I can't carry the people by myself. The Lord is far too heavy. If this is how you intend to treat me, just go ahead and kill me. Do me a favor. Spare me this misery. Let's go to verse 16. This is where the answer is. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather before me 70 men who are recognized as elders and leaders of Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle to stand there with you. I will come down and talk to you there. I will take some of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put the spirit upon them also. They will bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not have to carry it alone. God was not going to say, I'm coming down with new dimensions of capacity to put on the 70. Are you seeing that? He was saying, He's saying, when I come down, I'll do a surgery. I'll take of what is on you and I'll put it on them. In other words, Moses had capacity to take care of all 3 million people. Because God had put a spirit on him to be able to do it. But he didn't know. And he gave in to anger. And what that anger did is it reduced his sight of the capacity God has given him. So the load became too heavy. But how did the load become too heavy? You walked wrongly. It wasn't heavy initially. That means the 70 now, the 70 elders suddenly felt how it felt. What was hard? One elder could now gather 500 people and deal with him day in, day out, the whole day without getting tired. Why? Because they had an impartation that was on Moses. Moses was able to take care of all of them alone. No wonder at 80, at 90, his sight wasn't failing. When he was growing old, I don't know that age exactly, the Bible says, my eyes have not failed me. Even when God told him to die, he was still strong. God had to teach him how to die. He didn't know. He said, my eyes are not failing me. My strength is still fresh. Do you remember Caleb? When Caleb was 85 years old, he was asking for Hebron. And he said to Joshua, I still feel fresh, because he got an impartation from Moses. So even at 85, these are the kind of people who are still fresh, able to marry and still have more children. 85, Karimori mogam die. Someone say capacity. Alashata kabarazo kelevara katuriande leke bara sadilegesh. Rondo leba kasalavahati. You are not just a student. No. There are solutions the world is waiting for on the inside of you. Don't let your school make you look at yourself less than who you really are. Some of you, it's the errors you committed. They've made yourself look at yourself less. Some of you, it's your level of education, but I'm here to tell you that there are great things among you. There are great things within you in the name of Jesus. You will accomplish what God called you to do in the mighty name of Jesus. Greater is he that, imagine, there are great things in you, but there's also greater. For some people, it's not just the things that are in them. It's the Christ in them, who they have not seen what he can do. But I decree and declare, after today, you are going to start seeing manifestation of greatness. Manifestations of greatness. Manifestations of greatness. I said, manifestations of greatness. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout, yes! Greatness. 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 He says, I will take of what is on you. Hey! I saw that and I was like, how? That guy was able to feed all of them with meat. But he didn't know. He just didn't know. The spirit of revelation is coming on you. You will know. And I'm not talking about one or two things. I'm talking about great things coming out. Great things coming out in the name of Jesus. Companies that Zambia is waiting for, I release them from your heart. Companies that the country is waiting for, organizations that Africa is waiting for, I command them to be released in the name of Jesus. Masataka brondelege baratas.